all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope you stay glued to kptz.org. Our website is more than just a way to listen to today's shows. For example, you can find the biographies of all of our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town. And you can even listen to some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as podcasts. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some of the earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who were the two guest conductors helping Carl Bach during the recent Port Townsend Summer Band concert? Will one of them replace Carl if he really does retire? And by the way, Carl, if you're listening, we really will miss you if you do retire. There are so many people sightings here in Port Townsend, it's impossible to characterize some of the people. Who was that guy in Safeway the other day? The one with dreadlocks so long they almost reached the floor. And who is that woman diligently watering the downtown flower baskets every morning around 6 a.m.? She deserves an award and a raise. I'm sure she isn't being paid enough for what she does. This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with the people who make up the eclectic mix around these parts. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Steve Bergstrom, the owner of Bergstrom Sewing Machines, which is now located in Uptown Port Townsend after about 15 years in Port Hadlock. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you.
You know, I had your older brother, Robin Bergstrom, on the show a little while back. For your listeners who don't know the Bergstrom brothers, Steve runs his sewing machine shop while Robin runs Bergstrom's Antique and Classic Autos. The Bergstrom family has been one of Port Townsend's leading families for several generations, but we'll get to that in a minute. Let's start with your personal story, Steve. Were you actually born in Port Townsend?
No, I was born in Seattle and came to Port Townsend at a year old.
Big year old. You probably don't remember too much before then.
No, not at all.
Did you go to grade school here?
Yes, I went to grade school in Port Townsend. And after that, I went to Auburn Academy. It's near Auburn, Washington. It's a boarding school, co-educational high school.
A boarding school. Was it one where you had to wear uniforms?
No, but you had to wear slacks and a shirt and sweater. And girls wore dresses.
Oh, it was a dress code then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that boarding schools can be pretty strict. Was this one strict?
It was strict, but it's normally strict in private schools, I believe.
Now, another thing I've heard about boarding schools is that the food can be quite bad.
Well, it could be. When I was there, it was pretty much vegetarian food, so we didn't have a big option on meat or that type of thing.
Okay, so tell me the truth. Did you and any of the guys ever sneak out for a hamburger?
Yes, we did. A couple of us went to downtown Auburn to get a hamburger and had to hitchhike back to the academy and sneak into the campus.
Oh, did you get caught?
Not that time.
Not that time. Okay, I seem to recall some story about the Shirelles concert.
Well, we had two boys' dormitories and one girls' dormitory and a campus and an administration building. Well, and getting off campus was without permission is impossible. You had to have your folks in permission to go off campus. But five of us were able to sneak off campus to see the Shirelles in Tacoma, and this was about 1959. But we got back into the dormitory, everything went well, but somebody told the faculty we had snuck off, and we got suspended for a couple of weeks and got back in.
Oh, no. So is this sort of like a prison break? Did you climb out the window?
No. There was a door. We went out and went back in.
And so you mentioned just a moment ago that you hitchhiked back. Is that how you got to and from?
Well, that and where the bus, the Greyhound bus system, too. And once in a while, we'd hitchhike. Some of us from the peninsula, from Squim, Port Townsend, would hitchhike home. At that time, it was no problem to hitchhike in America.
Yeah, Yeah, simpler times, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you were in high school at the boarding school, were you a focused student? Did you study all the time, or did you fool around a little bit?
Well, we studied too, but band was my favorite subject, was band and
cool.
Orchestra.
So what did you play?
I played trumpet, cornet for the 4 years, and it was very... lots of fun.
That sounds
great
like fun.
Times. Mm-hmm.
Did your band, your school's band, did you march in parades and everything?
We did occasionally in Auburn area.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you were getting close to graduating from high school, did you have your future all mapped out in your head, or would you more go with the flow?
You know, a lot of my friends, colleagues, they did have an idea to go into the medical field, and a lot of them did, a medical and dentistry. Myself, I had figured on being in business.
Mm-hmm. Was that because of your family background?
Yes, my parents had a store in Port Townsend. Started, I think, in about 1948 with a store near the Rose Theater. Then later they bought a building, the Kuhn Building, which became a Bergstrom department store.
Okay, some of our older listeners probably remember Bergstrom's department store.
I'm sure they do. It was one of the larger stores on the peninsula as far as the department store, and we had merchandise for apparel, sporting goods, sewing machines. It was a complete department store.
I see. So did you work there from a young age? Did you help out around the store?
Well, my brother and I both started working for our father at a young age and worked our way through and in the college area, too, at times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when you graduated from high school, what did you do first?
Well, I had a job in Alaska with the Fish and Game Department, tagging salmon in the Naktik River for the summer.
Uh-huh. And then you came back, and what, did you go to school?
And then came back and went to Peninsula College for a year.
Uh-huh. And you obviously decided you didn't want to stick with that.
Well, I went back to Alaska the following summer, and that was about the time the draft was on and for
yes.
Vietnam, and I actually was drafted in the military, in the Army.
Yeah, well, that's happens to a lot of people. And so did you actually get sent to Vietnam?
No. Luckily, I was in medical training in Port Sam in San Antonio and was stationed in Germany.
What part of Germany?
I was stationed in Bavaria, in Augsburg. It's a Bavarian 2,000-year-old city. And we had, the Army had a major hospital, and I worked in preventive medicine as a specialist.
Did you speak German?
Not at the beginning, but I did learn some.
Yes, I think so. I guess being exposed to it. How big was the base then?
Well, it was a hospital base, so it was pretty large, and there was four other bases in that area in Augsburg.
I've never been there, but I've seen pictures of that region. It's very beautiful.
Absolutely. It's the whole Bavarian area is mountains and meadows and farms and small villages. Very, very pretty.
Okay. So tell me the story about the time your buddy said, how'd you like to go on a blind date with a German girl?
Well, I was in my little clinic, and actually a German fellow that worked in the hospital asked if I would be interested in having a blind date with a German girl in a ballroom in Augsburg, and I said, sure.
And?
Well, I had to put a suit and tie. It was very formal,
mm-hmm.
And I met my girlfriend there, and she spoke English, where I had just got to Augsburg and spoke just a little German.
Well, what was your first impression of her?
Well, she was very pretty. She was 17 going on 18. I was 20, and she kind of looked like Sophia Loren when she was 17.
Wow. That's not just sort of pretty. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, it was very nice. And we met about every Saturday evening to dance, and it was a ballroom for dancing and some desserts and that type of thing.
Did you already know how to ballroom dance, or did you have to brush up?
No, it was really difficult for me, but I learned a little more every time I went.
Well, you were probably committed to the idea of spending some time with her, right?
Correct, yes.
So what did her parents think about her dating an American soldier?
Well, they didn't know, actually, for quite a while until she actually wanted to introduce me to them, And I guess I made a pretty good impression.
What was her father's line of work?
Well, her father was an engineer.
Uh-huh. And did they more or less approve of you right away, or was it a bit difficult?
Well, it was fine. I think it was quite okay, because I wasn't the person that in the military that got into trouble or went to bars or anything. So I guess I wasn't a typical GI, I suppose.
Yes. So how long were you dating?
We dated for 2 years, or almost 2 years.
Uh-huh. And then was it that your time was up over there?
Yes, my tour was over, and I decided to not stay in the Army and come back to Port Townsend. Then my wife, or my girlfriend at the time, we had to have papers for her to immigrate, which takes about 6 months.
And so when did you pop the big question?
When I was there, before I left Germany.
Okay. And did you do the traditional thing of asking her father first?
Absolutely. And I had permission from her parents and all her relatives, her brother and uncles and aunts all came to a program where they had for me for the announcement.
Oh, so you had sort of an engagement party.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And was it a big crowd there?
Well, quite a few, actually. It was a little nerving, but
I
made
think
through
so.
It.
Yes. Okay, so you came back first. She had to get the paperwork to come over here.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does take a while. Tell me about the wedding. Where was it?
Because of my parents having a store in town, Port Townsend, we picked a good-sized church, the Presbyterian Church, and it was a big wedding. It was very nerve-wracking for me, but a very wonderful wedding.
Yeah. Well, how did your folks take the idea of having a German daughter-in-law?
Oh, they were fine. There was no problem whatsoever.
Well, that's good, because sometimes you hear, you know, people just are prejudiced. What can you say?
No, they were not a bit prejudiced, no.
Okay. So you came back, and were you working back with your father again?
Yes, I was working for my father and also worked for the Navy base in Bangor as just an employee working. This was for a short period, and then we moved to Seattle. I lived in Seattle for a year.
Okay. You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. The show's called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating and unique individuals who live and work in Jefferson County. Today, my guest is Steve Bergstrom, the owner of Bergstrom Sewing Machines, which is located in Uptown Port Townsend. Steve was telling me how he met and married a beautiful German girl when he was stationed in Germany. And he returned to Port Townsend, and they had a big wedding, with all the trappings, I presume, right?
Correct.
And then you went to work in Seattle for a period of time. What were you doing in Seattle?
I went to work for Singer Company, went through their training. Then, because I had retail background, they gave me a store as a manager in Aurora Village in Seattle. And it went well for the year, but then we wanted to start a family, so I bought a Singer franchise and put it in my father's department store in Port Townsend in 1968.
Now, how did you get into sewing machines? Was it something you knew something about, or how did it happen?
Well, mechanically, I was always working with different things. I had a car when I was 15. Mechanically, I enjoyed that type of thing, and that seemed like a field with service and sales. So if you have a combination of both, it's something you can make a living at.
So how did you discover Singer?
Actually, it was an advertisement in the Seattle Times for employment, but I went to the company, and it worked well for me. And it was the beginning.
So did they have you take some sort of test?
Yes, we take a test, but it's a simple test of taking a tension apart on a sewing machine and putting it back together quickly, and evidently I passed. And.
So, but you didn't have to sew anything.
No. Just demonstrations on how to use a sewing machine. And in sales, performing the sales, you have to be able to demonstrate the sewing machine and what the capabilities of it.
Before you got in touch with Singer, did you already know how to sew at all?
A little bit. My mother had a sewing machine, and I had a little 37 Ford, and she showed me how to do some upholstery when I was probably 15.
Huh. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you could upholster your own car.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Useful information, I think. So you took the franchise into your father's store, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And so you had sort of a department within
yes,
the store.
Yes, I had a department with sewing machines, vacuum cleaners. And at that time, stereo was becoming popular. I sold stereo with the speakers also.
Wow. I got a lot of diversity there.
Yeah.
So what happened with the store?
Well, the store was, my brother worked on the store with contractors who make it into a department store. The building was pretty much empty at the time my father bought it. So after I was there for 10 years or so, my father wanted to retire and sold the building and the department store.
Obviously, he would have sold to either you or your brother or the two of you together. What was the decision there? Why didn't you run a full department store?
Well, I think because he'd heard that Barmarché had bought 200 acres in Silverdale. They were planning to put a mall there. And my father thought probably the majority of the people in town would probably go there right away, and the town would have a little bit of a situation for a while because we couldn't compete. We could in price, but not size-wise.
Hmm. That's true, I guess. When was the bridge built?
Oh, boy. I'm not quite sure. Before, of course, we had ferries, and we had South Point Low Fall Ferry, but I think it was probably in the 60s or 70s maybe.
Huh, because that obviously changed the game a bit.
Well, it helped the peninsula for tourism.
Yes.
Which is one of the reasons people come here to Port Townsend. It's a beautiful city, and it's one of the only true Victorian cities on the West Coast.
Yeah. It is a stunning city, although I wasn't here in the 70s, but I understand there was a sort of rough patch where there were a lot of vacant buildings and stuff like that.
Yes. We weren't growing any because we didn't have a lot of industry. We had the paper mill, which was a good program, and the boat building became popular. But then all of a sudden, we've been discovered on the peninsula here for many reasons, backpacking and camping, and now people are coming here for a lot of reasons.
It's very beautiful, that's mm-hmm. for sure. So back to your story for a minute. You decided not to be involved with a broad department store, but you found your niche in sewing machines, right?
Yes. Well, I was able to find another building and then put in other brands of sewing machine besides Singer. And then I carried Elna, which is a Swiss-made sewing machine made in Switzerland. And I also carried a line of vacuum cleaners. And also, I had a big enough building that I rented space to a lady that had fabric. So I had a fabric store and a sewing machine business together.
That's convenient.
Yes, it was very
one-stop shopping.
Worked very well.
So do you still repair sewing machines?
Yes, I do service on mostly classic sewing machines. Not so many of the computer sewing machines, but more of the classics that are all metal. That's kind of my niche.
Yeah, well, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine who actually grew up here, and she told me that when she was a young teenager, her mother took her to your store and, you know, sort of set her up to learn to sew and to make her own clothes. Was that a typical thing that happened?
Yes, it was. And many young women and girls wanted to learn to sew, and they were able to sew. Many of their parents bought them a sewing machine, and they learned to sew. And the home ec department was very active here in town. Because it was popular, and it still is, but more for quilters now than just sewing clothing.
There are several events around town that require elaborate costumes. The Wearable Art Show is one. Did you get involved at all in assisting some people with that?
Well, my client said actually they do the sewing, come in with their sewing machines because they want them ready to sew all types of material, anything from thin fabrics to leather to cardboard. It's quite a program with this Wearable Art. It's amazing what they can sew on.
Yes, it is. Does any design stand out in your mind as one that you just thought, wow?
Well, there's some. I mean, there's some that I was amazed that they would be able to sew on. But
can you give an example?
Yeah, there's some, but just so different, many types of material.
Okay. What about the kinetic sculpture race? Did you get involved in any of the costumes there?
Well, there again, yes, I'm sure I have. I mean, not everybody tells me what they're doing, but I'm sure I have because I'm constantly working on sewing machines, so I know there's different. My clients use of all different types of sewing costumes and dresses and everything, quilts, of course. And some people actually make a yurt to live in and have bought a heavy-duty sewing machine from me. It's for sewing canvas.
Yes, and you told me the other day that a couple of women who were involved in the oil protest.
Yes, it was two ladies came in my shop, and they were American Indian ladies, and they were wanting to go to North Dakota to protest the oil pipeline. And
right.
And they bought a treadle sewing machine from me that was non-electric. It runs off of foot power. And they took it with them to actually make a teepee to live in because there was no other accommodation for living over there.
Wow, that's really amazing. So in this day and age, you've got women coming for a non-electric sewing machine so they could build teepees for the oil protest.
Yeah.
Oil
correct.
Pipeline protest.
Mm-hmm,
amazing.
Correct.
And I guess that sewing machine could also sew lighter fabrics as well.
Oh, yes. The treadle machines were amazing. It was by foot power, of course, but they could sew in sheer fabric. They're up to pretty heavy material. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Your shop in Uptown, Port Townsend, has a number of really cool old sewing machines there. There was one I saw in an oak cabinet that was quite beautiful. Can you describe that one to me?
Yeah, it's a treadle also, but it's a one that was very, at the time, very expensive. It's a wood type and with casting, but more elaborate than the standard treadle. It probably sold for quite a bit during 1907.
1907, wow. Is that the oldest sewing machine you have in there?
No, I have some 1850s, some before Singer Company. I collect sewing machines too, so I have quite a collection of rare antique sewing machines.
Wow. Roughly how many sewing machines do you have in your collection?
Probably a couple hundred.
Wow. And where do you store them?
Well, in my home, I have a home on Maristone Island. It's a pretty good sized home. So I have a 3-car garage, but also I have spare bedrooms, and sometimes they end up in a spare bedroom.
A house full of sewing machines. Cool.
Yeah.
And do you ever actually use any of them, or are they more just for looking at?
Well, I don't do a lot of sewing myself, but as a collector, I find some rare sewing machines.
And so where do you find these rare sewing machines?
Well, I have brought some back from Europe, from Germany and England, but mostly around Seattle and Tacoma.
So do you just go to flea markets, things like that?
I used to, yeah.
Well, I know you have two daughters. First, I'm going to ask the obvious question. Did they grow up, become big sewers? Do they make their own clothes?
No, actually, they weren't interested in sewing machines that much. And they also went to the same academy I went to for boarding school, but they went into more of the medical field, so they didn't go in
that direction.
No,
so what are they doing today? They're adults now.
Well, my older daughter, Cheryl, she owns a women's day spa in Grants Pass, which is a pretty large building, and she has 15 employees, and the building has all the different amenities that for a spa. So you have a waxing room, quite a big operation. I'm not quite familiar with it, but anyway, that's everything from eyelash extension for ladies to saunas to massage therapy, beauticians. It's a big operation.
Sounds nice.
Mm-hmm.
And your other daughter, what does she do?
And my other daughter, Brenda, she's a massage therapist in Bellingham.
Uh-huh.
And she's active in her church.
And do you have any grandchildren?
Well, I have 5 grandchildren, and they're all busy. And I have a great-grandson.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 1 year and 4 or 5 months.
I see. Mm-hmm. Cute age.
Yeah.
You told me earlier that you used to go back to Germany quite regularly with your wife.
Yes, we would try to go every few years with our children because we have relatives there. We had our own apartment, basically. So we were able to do some traveling, mostly in Austria, Germany.
And are you still traveling?
Well, it's been a while, but I my plans are to go back to do a little bit more, spend a little time in Italy, France, Germany. And my relatives are from Sweden, so I'll be going to Sweden too again.
Well, mentioning Italy, one of the things I saw in your shop the other day was actually, you told me it was from Italy. It was a ceramic bottle that was shaped like a sewing machine. Can you describe that?
Yes, it was a ceramic sewing machine, and it was for wine. And I found it in Florence, Italy, in a flea market and brought it back for part of my display.
Was amazing things people think of. I wouldn't have thought of a wine bottle shaped like a sewing machine.
Yeah, it looks like a sewing machine, so it's got it's quite an attraction for a lot of people.
Yes, I would think so. Very different, very different. Mm-hmm. Okay, back to your collection for a second. Of the 300 sewing machines, I'm trying to envision this. What's the largest one you have, and then what's the smallest one you have that function?
The largest would be a treadle in a cabinet, and then I have actually toy machines that were built to really sew. They were for girls, and back when Singer would make them, so they look like the regular machine, but they were very, very small, but they would do a chain stitch, and girls could sew dresses or for the Barbie dolls or whatever.
So how big are those, roughly?
Well, they're probably six inch long, you know, and they actually do turn and they do sew, but it's a chain stitch.
Yeah, so you could, as you say, make doll clothes, but it might be hard to make something big.
Correct, yes, right.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. They used to have all of these little toy things, stoves and everything, miniature, and I guess sewing machines are just one of the many toys that girls had.
In my parents' department store, we had a big toy section for all types of toys for boys and girls both, and it was quite of a operation, and that's just part of the department store.
And at one point, you had toys as part of your shop.
Well, I had a European gift shop for a while with a sewing business together, so I was actually bringing in toys from Italy, Germany, from mostly Europe, and that was just for probably a five-year period.
Okay, well, you know, Steve, believe it or not, we're running out of time here, but I just wanted to ask you, from your vantage point, you've been in Port Townsend for many years. How would you characterize the change in the town?
Well, it's been great, actually. We're very fortunate to have a city that people love to come to from all over. In fact, I've been to places in Europe where people, I didn't think they didn't know where Port Townsend was, and they did. And it's on their agenda when they come to see Seattle or the Northwest. They come to Port Townsend, and they visit my brother's classic antique car business, too. So we're very fortunate to have a town that has a variety of tourism and many, many wonderful restaurants.
Yeah, that's true. And music, too.
Wonderful music. We have every type of music that comes in. We have jazz festivals. We have dancing on the docks. It's an exciting town.
Dancing on the docks. Seems to me I've seen you and your brother down there at the music on the docks.
Well, we like to go out and dance. great bands show up on a Thursday, and then it's a different band every Thursday, and this is it's summertime.
Yes, and it's something I quite like about Port Townsend, too. And it's, from my perspective, I wish they'd do it a little longer, and not just end at the end of August, but I guess winter must come on.
Yes.
Oh, well, now we really are out of time. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been Steve Bergstrom, owner of Bergstrom Sewing Machines. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Marianne. It was very interesting.
Yes. I also want to thank the man with the headphones in the glass booth, our engineer, John McPherson. He's the reason our conversation sounds so effortless. He takes out all the ums and ers and makes us sound really, really smooth. My thanks also to Program Director Larry Stein and Chairman of the Board Robert Ambrose. Both of them work extremely hard to make KPTZ the success it is. So keep your radio tuned to KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM, for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.